It's time to go back to school with Professor Fish, Southern Colorado's only show dedicated to college athletics, University of Fish.
Oh, man, I think the clock is slow.
Class is now in session.
I don't feel tardy.
Here's the professor, Tim Fisher.
We're joined now by Brooke Pryor of the Daily Oklahoman, a beat writer for the University of Oklahoma. They're getting set to take on TCU. Don't know what's going to happen during the warm-ups. Maybe a couple players getting hit in the head with a pass or not. But let's go to Gary Patterson real quick, because he's been throwing out some stuff this week about Baker hitting the guy in the head. And he says that was standard practice when he was at Texas Tech. So he's thinking this was intentional, doesn't he?
He sure does. It's not too surprising. I mean, I've seen the video. I feel like I've watched the video about 50 times. And it does look pretty intentional. There's not really a receiver for Baker to throw to around there. Was it good sportsmanship? No. Was it, you know, uncalled for? Yeah, if it was intentional, there's really no place for that. But, Gary Patterson has a right to be incensed. I think he may have taken it a step too far, saying that that's what injured his player. I don't think that would cause a concussion. But I think that element of it is going to just add some more fireworks to Saturday's game between two programs that have had a history of kind of going at each other, whether it's Baker Mayfield and Gary Patterson kind of sparring with each other before the game, after the game, whether it's, the TCU players getting ejected for targeting and kicking and everything. I mean, it's going to be heated down there in Arlington.
Oh, yeah, and it goes way back to when Baker saying that TCU reneged on a scholarship offer. And so the one thing you don't want to do is fuel Baker Mayfield's fire. And that's all that's been happening all week long, and because his boys got slighted earlier this week when they aren't up for the offensive line trophy. And I know Baker's been on Twitter talking about that. Because I know you watch them week in and week out. That's probably the best offensive line in the country, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty good. I haven't had a chance to watch, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Auburn. I might be off on one of those.
No, you got them.
I haven't had a chance to watch their offensive lines, but OU's offensive line is pretty darn good. I mean, there was, I think, one week that they were pretty off. And weren't playing as well as they should have. But if you look at Mayfield's numbers, the number of sacks he's taken hasn't been very many. The running backs, I mean, Rodney Anderson wouldn't be doing what he's doing without a really solid offensive line. I mean, they've got Orlando Brown, who is likely a first-round draft pick, if not a top 10 draft pick. Bobby Evans, who could go pro and I think be a first or second rounder. They have such a talented offensive line that to not be a finalist for that award, pretty head-scratching. And in true Baker Mayfield fashion, I mean, he's going to defend his team. I saw that tweet pop up on my feed this morning, and I didn't even know what it was referencing at first until I checked the Joe Moore stuff. And that's when you know that, I mean, these guys, they do want a national championship, but they also, I mean, want individual awards for each other, not necessarily for themselves, but for each other to prove and kind of quantify just how good they are. And especially with the offensive line, I mean, Orlando Brown doesn't have any stats of his own. Bobby Evans doesn't really have any stats of his own. So getting an award like this or being a finalist kind of justifies what they've been doing. So I'm sure they do feel slighted.
Okay, now let's actually talk about the game. But one last thing on Baker and the pregame pass with the TCU game. You're talking about one of the most accurate passers in the history of college football. He did hit him on purpose. I mean, because Baker doesn't miss. He doesn't miss when he throws. And so I don't know if a lot of people thought about that. But I thought about that as I was just thinking right there. But when we come down to the game, you brought up Rodney Anderson earlier. In the past 6 weeks, he has been the most electric player in college football. If he'd been playing like that all year long, if they'd have started off with him instead of Abdul Adams and Trey Sermon and him all trading out hands, You could see Rodney in New York next week because he's been that dynamic these past 6 weeks. Is it going to take a big game from Rodney to take some pressure off Baker?
I think so. And you know what? I don't know necessarily starting Rodney earlier in the season would get him to the Heisman conversation. I mean, he very much needed a couple of games to get in rhythm. And he didn't look. I mean, the way that he's playing right now, we didn't see that in the first 3 or 4 weeks. It wasn't until Texas that he really started to look like, show shades of the running back that he is now. And, you know, Rodney has a good history in AT&T Stadium. He's played in it three times before with Katy High School. The two games that he had that were really big, Katy lost to Cedar Hill in the state championship game. But, I mean, I think he has five or six touchdowns in combined between all three of those games. Some big runs. And OU's going to need that running game to really be established. Rodney, I think, had, what, four touchdowns in the first half the last time OU played TCU, two receiving, two rushing. And so he likes playing this team. It's worked out well for him before. And if he can kind of be that versatile and that important to the offensive scheme, I think things bode pretty well for OU.
Now, I've heard all the talking heads this week as they're talking about this game say, well, but you know, 3 weeks ago, TCU shut down Oklahoma in the second half. Is it that, or did Riley just put the brakes on the offense, trying to be as vanilla as possible, knowing that there was a very good likelihood of this matchup just down the road, and didn't want to give away too much on offense?
You know, I tend to think toward that, toward your second point there, that OU kind of shut it down a little bit. You know, I don't think it was a full hard stop on the brakes, but I think it kind of pumps the brakes, maybe just pressed on them a little bit to slow, like you said, to not open up the full playbook. You know, OU has struggled in some short yardage situations, and those struggles do kind of trace back to that TCU game in the last couple weeks. Since then, they have had some situations, especially late in games, where they couldn't convert those short yardage situations. But I think that we're going to see more of the OU team that played in the first half of that game. TCU obviously is going to want to try to do more defensively of what they did in the second half. But I think if OU opens up that playbook, I'd expect to see some trick plays. OU really likes the flea flicker, and they haven't really had one that's had a ton of success this year. I mean, it's never been completely botched. I think even last week they tried one, and Baker couldn't end up getting the throw off, but he ran, I think, picked up a first down on his feet. So there hasn't been a huge debacle running that play, but I'm sure the Sooners would really like to have one of those actually work this time around. So I would expect to see some trickeration. I'm excited for it. I love a good flea flicker.
Now, when we look at Oklahoma defensively, over the past month they've been playing much better defense. Now, does that come into play with the freshmen that are sitting there at the corners, because that's where Oklahoma was being burnt all the time? I guess if you wanted a big play, you went after Jordan Thomas, and Jordan hadn't been in there because you've had the freshmen in there. Has that been the turnaround on the defense?
I think so. Trey Norwood stepped up at Oklahoma State when Jordan Thomas was injured, and it kind of gave OU that opening, that window to try something else out of that corner spot, because, you know, out of respect for Jordan Thomas and out of the respect for his track record, I mean, he wasn't always getting burned this often. There was a time when he was considered maybe an All-American cornerback. Clearly, he kind of took a dive last year, and then it kind of continued to free fall this year. And so I'm sure OU has wanted to change up different looks there, but didn't really have a reason to do it, a way to justify it. And then he gets hurt. You put in Trey Norwood. And, yeah, I mean, he's getting burned on some plays, but he's a freshman, a true freshman. And he's showing the promise maybe that you didn't necessarily have with Jordan Thomas, you know, Thomas being at the end of his collegiate career, Norwood being at the beginning, and Norwood showing some signs of being coachable, of adjusting some of the things that he's doing wrong. He's there in coverage more times than not. And he's got Parnell Motley on the opposite side. Parnell playing a lot better than he was against Oklahoma State. Still not perfect. You know, OU's corners are far from that. But there is a sign, I think, that they are better than they were earlier in the year with having those two young guys back there.
Okay, now we're looking at our crystal ball. It's about 2:30 in the afternoon in Dallas. Who's Big 12 champion?
Oh, I think it's going to be OU. I think it's going to be a lot closer than the first meeting between these two teams, that 38-20 victory that OU got in Norman. But I think that again, OU, you know, the biggest thing is, OU has Baker Mayfield. They have that super high-powered offense. And I think that with that, they can outscore TCU even if OU's defense implodes. And I don't think it will, because between the cornerbacks and then the pressure that OU is getting on quarterbacks with Devonta Lampkin, Ovo Okoronkwo, Amani Bledsoe, all those guys are just making that defensive front so much stronger than it was earlier on. I think that, OU just has a little bit more than TCU. They're more talented. They've got, you know, more talented players, and their schemes, I think, are enough to kind of get around what Gary Patterson is trying to do.
Well, Brooke Pryor with the Daily Oklahoman, I'm sure we'll be talking to you as we get into bowl season. And with when it talks about Oklahoma, very, very possibly into playoff season, sitting there at number three right now, and everybody's been talking about, well, should they be at number two? It doesn't really matter, two or three. They're going to match up against each other. And if you look at the if it holds chalk right now, you're looking at a rematch of last year's Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, no kidding. And we were talking to some Auburn writers last night. We said, well, we'll just meet you guys in Pasadena 2 years in a row. It'll start to become this annual reunion thing. I think looking at the other possibilities that OU could meet up with between Clemson, potentially Wisconsin, and then Auburn. I think OU least wants to see Auburn. You know, last year's Sugar Bowl game ended up being kind of a blowout, but that was with Sean White at quarterback, and they've got Jared Stidham now, and I think he's really going to cause some problems for OU, and, you know, Auburn's defense is super strong as well. I think for viewers, it'll be an awesome game, but I think it's the team that OU least wants to see in those in that semifinal round.
Well, thank you, Brooke Pryor. Look forward to talking to you later.
Thanks so much for having me on.
That takes care of the Big 12. Now, when we come back, we'll be talking with Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch. Of course, that must mean we're talking Ohio State after the break, right here on University of Fish. I am the professor. You're listening to Extra Sports 1300.
Everyone, back in your seats. University of Fish is back in session.
We're joined now by Tim May of the Columbus Dispatch. And if there's anybody that knows Ohio State and can talk about the Big Ten Championship, it is this man. Tim May, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well, man. How you doing?
Not bad, not bad at all. So now when we got to talk about this, and it's been talked about all week, the injury to JT Barrett. He had arthroscopic surgery. He should be, according to all sources that I see, he should be ready for the game. What are you seeing about JT Barrett?
Well, Urban Meyer said on Thursday that he had been cleared to play, and obviously he wasn't used much in practice this week. But you know, he's been playing with that probably, for want of another word, floating piece of cartilage in his knee all year, and it's only really affected him a couple of times. And so clearly he's got some grit about himself. But number two, I think if he's ready to play, he's probably, you know, looking forward to it. I'm not going to say whether he's going to play well or not, because you know, I remember the Penn State game when he did, and I remember the Iowa game when he didn't. So, you know, it's like you don't put the cart before the horse there. But bottom line is, I think they feel confident about him playing. And, of course, the other reason they're confident in their offense is because they have a backup quarterback now in Dwayne Haskins Jr., who entered the game against Michigan a week ago with the team behind 6 points after JT was helped off the field. And he took them to three scores and won the rivalry game. So, they feel pretty good about their bullpen. Whether JT starts the game, you know, remains to be seen. Whether Dwayne Haskins Jr. has to play remains to be seen. But I think they feel pretty good about their quarterback situation in general.
Well, JT has already picked up some hardware this week, being the Big Ten's best quarterback for the third year that he's been available for the trophy. But when you look at it, we know that when Urban Meyer runs his quarterback more than he runs his running backs, it's not a good thing for Ohio State. Does he have to get Dobbins and everybody else more involved in the game other than JT Barrett in the running game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've ever since the Iowa game, they've gotten back to, in some respects, a more standard running game on occasion. Now, I'm not saying every play is this, but they run some plays where it calls for a handoff to the running back as opposed to an option of some sort. And Iowa did a great job of taking away the running back in the option and making JT have to keep the ball. So they wanted to kind of get out of that rut to a certain extent. And clearly the last 3 weeks against the number three rush defense in the country, Michigan State, they ran for 335 yards. They ran for 325 against Illinois. And then he ran against the number one, number two defense in the country a week ago, Michigan. He ran for over 220 yards, which was, you know, pretty pretty amazing, and they put the ball, put the game away with a Mike Weber, another Mike Weber breakaway touchdown run. So I think they feel pretty good about their running game. J.K. Dobbins, Mike Weber, J.T. Barrett, and even Dwayne Haskins Jr., the second biggest play he made after a third down pass to Austin Mack was a scramble for 22 yards down to the 1 yard line to set up their go ahead touchdown. I think they feel, like I said, pretty good with the running game and the way they've even mixed hybrid backs, KJ Hill and Paris Campbell, into the mix.
Well, that young secondary that Ohio State has right now, they should be licking their chops right now, because when you look at Alex Hornibrook, he has turned the ball over multiple times this year. I mean, he does have a plus rating on his touchdown to interception ratio, but he does have in the teens of interceptions. Defensive backs have to play a big game.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think he's thrown 13 interceptions, which is the most by any other starter in the Big Ten this year. So that's a lot. Bottom line is, though, he's also rallied his team after some of those disappointments, and they're undefeated. That's what Ohio State is looking at. That this guy, you know, yeah, he may throw one up for grabs every now and then, but he also puts some right on the button. Then number two, he has maybe the best overall tight end in the Big Ten in Troy Fumagalli, who obviously Ohio State has had trouble covering tight ends this year in certain games, key moments against Oklahoma, Penn State, Iowa for sure, when Iowa had three of them on the field at a time. And then even against Michigan, some tight ends ran wild and free. It's just O'Korn couldn't hit them all, and that really hurt Michigan. So, I mean, I think that's the matchup to watch, is whether they can get, for example, Fumagalli running wild and free in the secondary, and or they've got a couple other tight ends they like to use in multiple tight end sets. So that, to me, is a really good matchup to watch. But you know, if Wisconsin gets his play-action game going, which means they've established Jonathan Taylor, they're a tough offense for anybody to stop, no matter who you are.
You bring up Jonathan Taylor. What's it going to take for the Ohio State defense to stop this freshman sensation that's been run? I mean, could break the freshman record for yards in this game.
Yeah, I don't mean to be a smart aleck. They need to tackle him. And basically, a lot of times the way you handle a guy like this is get him before he gets going. And that means, you know, Ohio State likes to, with his defensive front, which is a very athletic defensive front, get up through gaps, get into the backfield, and force the action. They've had pretty good success with that, with the exception of a couple of games this year. So, you know, Saquon Barkley really wasn't the factor running the ball against Ohio State. Trace McSorley made some other things happen, obviously. And Oklahoma didn't run all over Ohio State. I mean, Baker Mayfield just found some gaps in the passing lanes and exploited them a few times, and that was the difference in that game. But bottom line is, they want to get into the backfield, get after this guy. You know, at the same time, if he doesn't get it, get after Hornibrook. I mean, that's been Ohio State sort of like their modus operandi defensively all season.
Now, we're sitting there on Saturday evening, later today, and we look into our crystal ball. Is it a long drive back to Columbus, or are people excited because they're going to the playoff, because they have the chance of going to the playoff, waiting for the playoff committee the next day? Who wins, Ohio State or Wisconsin?
Well, I've been late part of the week, I've been picking Ohio State 31-20, and that's just for entertainment purposes only. As I've explained to a bunch of people this week, I've been on a bunch of these kind of shows, and I go, you know, if you really think you know what's going to happen Saturday night, hey, good for you. This, for example, this Big Ten championship game has really been tough to call over the years. I mean, Ohio State played a really good Wisconsin team in 2014. Ohio State had just lost its starting quarterback, J.T. Barrett, the week before. You know, sound familiar? And Cardale Jones gets in there, throws the ball up for grabs, that Devin Smith goes up and gets for a touchdown, and suddenly Cardale Jones has got confidence, Ohio State's got confidence, and they beat a really good Wisconsin team that went on to beat Auburn in a bowl game. They beat a really good Wisconsin team 59-0. So if you saw that coming, hey, good for you. Last year, Penn State and Wisconsin engaged in a ridiculous shootout, and of course, Penn State prevailed in the end, but I think this is a really tough game to call. If Ohio State does, in fact, beat the number four team in the college football playoff rankings going into this weekend, which is Wisconsin, unbeaten for the first time in the regular season since 2012, I think Ohio State's definitely going to be in a major part of a conversation, probably Ohio State and Alabama, for who that fourth team is that gets in to the college football playoff. And, you know, in my opinion, you know, yes, Ohio State lost by 31 at Iowa. It will have won its last four games, including winning the Big Ten championship, and including beating its arch rival, and including being a Michigan State team. It's probably as big a turnaround team as there is in the country this year. And Alabama will have finished its season by beating FCS Mercer, followed by losing soundly to its arch rival, Auburn. So, you know, Alabama will have 10 wins against FBS schools. Ohio State will have 11. Ohio State will have a bowl championship, or excuse me, a Big Ten championship, conference championship, and Alabama won't. So, you know, in my opinion, the hotter team probably will be Ohio State, but whether the committee sees it that way remains to be seen.
Well, I know a lot of people would like to see an Oklahoma-Ohio State rematch, and if that happens, if Wisconsin does fall to Ohio State, that is a very good possibility, if not in the semifinals, in the finals of the college football playoff. But
well,
then
I'll tell you what's a really interesting possibility is if Clemson beats Miami, Clemson will probably be the number one seed, just like it is this week, and it could be Clemson-Ohio State again in a semifinal. Because I don't figure Ohio State will be any higher than a four seed. That would be very interesting, considering Clemson gave Urban Meyer his first and only shutout last year in a semifinal, 31-0. So there's all kinds of intrigue and a possible, and possibly including Ohio State in the Final Four.
There is. And Tim May, I know we'll be talking to you again as bowl season is quick upon us, because whether we're talking New Year's Six or playoffs, I know Ohio State's going to be involved, and thank you for joining the University of Fish this morning.
Hey, man, always enjoy it. You know that.
Only one conference championship game left to talk about. Of course, that's going to be Clemson and Miami later this evening in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll be talking with Eric Boynton and that works in upstate South Carolina, which means you know he knows his Clemson Tigers. We'll do that after the break right here on University of Fish. I am the professor. You're listening to Extra Sports 1300.
Everyone, back in your seats. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
We're now joined by our good friend that we have here on the University of Fish, Eric Boynton. We've been talking to him all year about the Clemson Tigers. They're number one now in the playoff poll. Eric, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks again for having me.
Well, number one. That's how they ended up the season last year. They're there right now in the playoff poll. Are they that good?
You know, I think they are. And I would say that really, you know, with Alabama kind of being beset by injuries on the defensive side of the ball, losing nearly their entire linebacking core, it's, you know, it seems like one of those years where there's not those one or two outstanding teams, kind of like Alabama and Clemson maybe last year, and then the rest of the field. I just think there's a lot of, you know, a handful of really, really good teams. And, to say is Clemson great or as good as the past couple of years? Probably not, but certainly, you know, they're right in among the handful of the really great teams again this year, and I would say that they're, you know, every bit of deserving of that number one spot, you know, with playing a fairly tough schedule and some big road wins, and I would say they're right about where they deserve to be.
Big decisive win last week against the University of South Carolina. Now they take on a Miami team that thinks they might have woken up after a loss to Pitt last week. How do you see this game going?
Well, you know, Miami, both of these teams feature two of the best defenses in the country. You know, I know Miami's become really well known for their turnover chain, and it's been making a lot of appearances. They've got 29 takeaways on the year, which I know is top five in number, and it actually leads the country in takeaways per game because they had one of their games canceled due to the hurricane early in the year. But again, two great defenses. Miami's up there among the league leaders as well in sacks, tackles for loss, which is a category Clemson's dominated the last three or four years. They do a great job of putting pressure on the quarterback and getting into the backfield. And big news for Miami actually happened today. Well, their third leading receiver is apparently out for the rest of the season with a knee injury, Amon Richards. And in Friday's loss, they also lost their top tight end, Chris Herndon, who's one of the best tight ends in the country. So here's the Miami offense that already, you know, wasn't, you know, the main strength of their team is their defense. Their offense had mainly been doing just enough to get by. They lost their top running back, Walton, earlier in the season, who was, you know, a preseason all-ACC guy. So, you know, now they've really got some major injury issues on the offense. That certainly doesn't bode well going against a defense, which is probably the best one they'll see all year. So I would look for, you know, a low-scoring game. And certainly Clemson has the edge in the fact that it's been on the big stage and played a number of these, essentially what's an elimination game for the Final Four playoffs probably. And they've been there a whole ton. Miami, you know, hasn't even had double-digit wins for almost a dozen years. So, you know, I don't know. You know, a lot of times that could play out with a team that's got the big game experience has an edge, and the game's in Charlotte, North Carolina, which, of course, lends itself to a lot more Clemson fans being in attendance than Miami folks.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a great game in Charlotte later today. But when we think about the offense, like you said, Miami had a hard time moving the ball against Pitt. You got Kelly Bryant running a somewhat dynamic offense for Clemson. Who's got the real edge there?
I would say offensively, easily Clemson. I mean, and you know, Rozier's done a nice job for Miami, but again, he's a guy that you know, is a sophomore and he's a junior actually. My bad, but he's you know, first year starter. Brad Kaya maybe made a mistake leaving early for the NFL. If they had him back, it certainly might be a different story. But again, with those injuries to their wide receivers, Clemson's you know, fully healthy on the offensive side of the ball. Kelly Bryant had some ankle issues midseason. And everything, he's back healthy from that. And really, Clemson really just seems to be peaking. They're really playing their best football of the year after their hiccup in Syracuse at midseason. And I would definitely, as far as playmakers, they have three guys, first-team All-ACC on the offensive line. And I would definitely say Clemson's got a huge edge in the offensive side of the ball.
Well, we're talking with Eric Boynton, one of our best friends from the upstate of South Carolina. We know Clemson's going to go farther this year. We look forward to talking to you later. Thank you, sir, for joining us this morning in the University of Fish.
You got it. Thanks very much for having me.
So we've talked about every game. Now let's pick them. When we come back after the break, we'll be joined by the angel of the big house. Yes, Angelique Shengelis will be joining us once again. She's our guest picker this week because, Michigan's not playing. We'll do that after the break right here on University of Fish. I am the professor. You're listening to Extra Sports 1300.
Let's take a step out on the quad. Professor Fish is giving a lecture.
It's that time of the week again. It's time for Fish's Picks. Everybody always waits for this because you want to make some money. I want to make some money, but I want to remind you, this is only for entertainment purposes only. I don't need your wife or your husband coming down on me because you're losing money, because I got to deal with that myself at home. This week, we are honored to have as our guest picker the angel of the big house. She doesn't have any football to cover this week, so we're going to have her pick some games. Angelique Shengelis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, very well, but I will tell your listeners that this is the worst year I've ever had in our college football picks in the Detroit News. I usually win. I really do. We have like four pickers total. And I have just been awful this year. But in my defense, I picked the exact score of the Michigan-Ohio State game.
So you're telling me I should win this week between me and you?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. I think people should bet on you winning.
Okay, well, hopefully that pans out. And we'll get,
I got some credit for getting the exact score.
That was good.
Some applause. Okay.
That was good. That was
okay.
Very good. Okay.
Okay.
Golf clap for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
There you go. We're going to get right into it. North Texas, Florida Atlantic, Conference USA Championship. Lane Kiffin has been all over social media trolling Tennessee this week. I don't know if he's put any preparation in for this game against the Mean Green of North Texas. How do you see this, or do you see it at all?
Well, no, I don't see it. I mean, Conference USA, I think my Bearcats are 1 in that conference, so I paid attention. But doesn't that suggest that Lane Kiffin is loose this week? He feels good, so he has time to troll. I think that's indicative of where he is. Maybe they feel really good about this, so I'm going with Lane Kiffin.
Well, they've played already this year, and Florida Atlantic just wiped up the floor with North Texas. It's going to happen again. Lane Kiffin can get back to trolling because that's what he does best, and who knows what's going to happen at Tennessee. My head is still spinning from everything that's gone on there.
Unbelievable.
It is crazy. I'm glad that I'm not a writer or I don't cover them specifically because my show would not be near long enough, I tell you that.
Oh, I mean, coaching searches, just generally speaking, are horrendous, and this one looks like it tops all of them. So, I mean, now it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, with the AD gone, what's the next step? I mean, there are stories about Phil Fulmer's been sabotaging the process. He wants to be the AD. So I know we're getting off track there, but that's a crazy story.
It is a crazy, crazy story. Another coach that could be going on somewhere is Scott Frost, but he's taking on the Memphis Tigers first in the AAC championship game, another rematch from earlier this year that UCF obviously won because they are undefeated. But since then, Memphis is like scoring like 100 points a game, something ridiculous. I mean, they have not missed a beat since Fuente went to Virginia Tech. Memphis, the Tigers, or the Knights of UCF?
Well, I want to take UCF. I wonder, you know, does the team get distracted by the coaching talk, and is he headed to Nebraska? I would think that Scott Frost is having been in that position, I think he understands that he's got to prepare his team. And you can't worry about the distractions, so I'm going to stick with UCF.
You know, that's a great pick. I'm going to go with UCF as well because, well, they're going to send Scott Frost out a winner. He'll have a New Year's Six bowl. I don't know if he'll be coaching it because I expect to go, hey, we're going to a New Year's Six, and I'm going to Nebraska. I expect that after the game this evening. We'll see what happens because I know Moose at Nebraska was like going, you know what, he's got a game to prepare for. They've been on a run. Don't want to talk about Scott Frost until we get to that point. So we'll see how that works out. Now, a conference you may know a little more about because it is up in your neck of the woods, the MAC.
Yes.
The Akron Zips taking on the Toledo Rockets. Wow.
That's a tough one because, we have a lot of MAC action teams here, Central, Western, and Eastern, pardon me. And, saw a lot of what Central Michigan was doing. But, I mean, I've been sort of on the Toledo Rockets bandwagon for a couple of years now. I think they're a really good team. They're very sound. And I hope you take Akron so we can differ on one of them.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, it's two teams from Ohio. Like, I really care at all. But you know what? Just to throw in some differing opinion here, I know nothing about Akron. I know nothing about Toledo. I know Toledo has a better record than Akron this year. But I think in a championship game, just like a rivalry game, you throw the records out, and I'm taking Akron. For no good reason whatsoever other than that you took Toledo.
Good. Okay. That's a good way to pick.
Now, we're going to get into games that actually mean a little bit more. Well, this one means a whole lot less now that Jimbo Fisher no longer at Florida State. He has been officially saying he is going to Texas A&M. He couldn't beat Dabo, so now he's going to go try to beat Saban. We'll see how that works out for him. It's a telltale sign when you have your Christmas tree on December 1st sitting at the corner for it, for the trash. So, I mean, it's like, he ain't going to be home for the holidays because we know that he's going to Texas A&M now. They got to play Louisiana Monroe just to get bowl eligible. Will the distraction of Jimbo Fisher let Monroe beat them and end that bowl streak for Florida State?
I got to believe that. I mean, I really do. And it's been hard to watch Florida State. It's been hard to watch both of those Florida State teams this year. So I'm going to pick against Florida State in this one. I really think that's been a distraction and will affect the players in this one.
So you're taking Monroe. See, I
should. Yeah, I'm sorry, Louisiana Monroe. Yeah,
I should have went Toledo with you because I am going to differ with you on this. Even as bad as Florida State's looked, if they can't beat Louisiana Monroe,
I know. Yeah, no, you're right. You're
I don't
right.
care who's coaching them. I don't care if I'm coaching them. Florida State no. should be able to beat Monroe. So I'm going to say the streak stays alive after all the travel hardships they put Monroe through just so they could keep that bowl streak alive. This is almost like the Eli Manning game, you know, with keeping a streak alive, but at least Eli's being smart and saying, I'm not going to play just to keep a streak alive. Florida
no,
State.
That's true. Florida well, I like my pick. I'm sorry, Professor. It's my out-on-the-limb pick, so there.
Okay, but now we're back in the conference championship games. I'm taking the Noles to keep the streak alive. A rematch from this past Saturday night. Fresno, Boise State in the Mountain West. Fresno had a horrible year last year. The Fighting Jeff Tedfords has got them going this year. They beat Boise last week. Now they have to go to Boise to play the conference championship game. The Bulldogs or the Smurf Turf?
Smurf Turf, not going to happen 2 weeks in a row, and you're not going to beat them at home. Not on the Smurf Turf.
God, I hate agreeing with you. I do, because I think that Rippon or whoever's playing quarterback for Boise these days will have enough, especially there on the blue turf at night. You know, you don't hear often strange things happen at Albertsons Field, but it will tonight, and Boise will beat the Fresno State Bulldogs. Now, the conference championship games that really actually kind of matter.
Uh-huh.
We're going to start off with the Big 12, another rematch from earlier in the season. Oklahoma beat TCU about 3-4 weeks ago, 38-20. Now they're going to be just a short 25, 30 miles from the TCU campus playing there at Jerry World in Arlington, Texas. The Sooners or the Horned Frogs?
Well, I you know I feel intimidated because of this matchup and your fandom with Oklahoma.
I'm an alum. I'm not a fan. Yeah. I'm an alum. There's a difference.
Oh, okay. Well, you can be a fan and an alum.
Not really.
I really like what TCU has done this year. I mean, I think they're really – I think it's their tough team, but I'm going with your Sooners. And I know you are. So
that's a very good pick, my friend. I'm trying to do my best Corso there. Great pick there. Oklahoma, everybody, all the talking heads the past week and a half since his game has been set, has said, but TCU shut him down in the second half. No, they did not. Oklahoma put the brakes on because they knew this was a potential matchup for the Big 12 championship game. Wanted to be vanilla, wanted to make sure they had some tricks left in the bag to take on TCU in the Big 12 championship. Baker Mayfield has a hatred for TCU ever since he says that Gary Patterson reneged on a scholarship offer, which made him walk on to Texas Tech. He, you know, and the whole hitting the player in the head with a pass in the pregame. Baker Mayfield already been snubbed once this week because the Unitas Golden Arm went to an in-state rival. Mason Rudolph won that on Friday. So Baker has a lot to play for, still has a Heisman out in front of him, but he said he didn't come for the bronze. He came for the gold of the national championship trophy. You got to take Oklahoma in this game in the Big 12.
Okay, tell me you sounded like a fan there, not an alum. You sounded like a proud alum who's a fan.
I sounded like an educated person that was making a very smart pick.
Yes, you did, but you sounded very passionate about it.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I am passionate about it. Okay, now this you have seen both these teams in live and in color and in person. Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Indianapolis for the Big Ten title. Ohio State hoping for some carnage up above them because they want to get into the playoff with two losses. Don't see it happening, but they could shake everything up and maybe open a door for Alabama, who's not even in a conference championship game, didn't win their division. But Ohio State hoping for that chaos, taking on the undefeated Badgers. Who do you like?
Yeah, I mean you're right on all those fronts. I mean they could really wreak some havoc, and I picked Ohio State to win, and I like Wisconsin. I mean I like Alex Hornibrook. Does throw interceptions, and they don't always obviously haven't hurt them, but he is he is prone to mistakes, and I think Ohio State's a defense that can really take advantage of that. And then you look at Wisconsin's offensive line, I mean, just huge like they always are. They run the ball so well. This whole JT Barrett knee thing is such a mystery to me. I don't, you know, he's coming back from some kind of surgery, and he looked like he was playing pretty well against Michigan last week, even with this problem that was apparently inflamed by the photographer gate story. So, if he's going to play and he's going to be full go, I'm going to give the advantage to Ohio State and JT Barrett.
Well, we haven't had this much talk about a photographer
since the
Zapruder film back with the JFK shooting. I mean, because Urban Meyer says, I'm going to find out who did this. I'm going to, you know, just all in a tizzy, like it was done on purpose, and I doubt that. Granted, it was in the Big House, but I doubt that. Now, any time that Urban Meyer runs his quarterback more than his running backs, he normally loses. They were well on the way to doing that this past week before JT Barrett got hurt again. And so they're lucky the backup Haskins came in. But I think
he played well, too.
He did.
Really well.
Because they actually had a vertical passing game, which they don't have with JT Barrett. But
you're right. You're absolutely right.
But that being said, since you were in the Big House, we are talking with the angel of the Big House, Angelique Shingels of the Detroit Free Press.
Detroit News.
Detroit News, sorry. Sorry, I got to get the right. I never say what paper you're with, and then when I do, I get it wrong.
That's
why.
That's okay.
But I think Wisconsin has enough defense. I saw them shut down Michigan's run game. You saw it. You were there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think Ohio State's going to, especially with JT Barrett, if he stays in the whole game, going to have to depend on his arm. And any time you have to depend on JT Barrett's arm, I don't care if he's three-time Greasy Breeze award winner in the Big Ten. I don't think he's that good of a passer. I'm going to take Wisconsin to continue the undefeated season and win the Big Ten in Indianapolis.
I would agree with what you said, but I do think the difference when you're comparing Michigan and Ohio State has a better offensive line. And not that they can handle Wisconsin's defensive line, but I think that they'll have a better shot at it than Michigan did. And, you know, and I thought Michigan's offensive line actually played pretty well until Brandon Peters got hurt. So I don't want to totally demean Michigan's offensive line, but I think Ohio State's is better. And we're going to disagree on this one. That's good.
Yes, it is good. And that's why they don't play the game on paper. They play it on the field. It'll be played later today at Lucas Oil Field there in Indianapolis. Now to the ACC, number one versus formerly number two, Miami, after that bad loss to Pitt last week, dropped down to six or seven, somewhere in there. I think there's seven. But the Clemson Tigers taking on the U. This game in Charlotte, which is only about 2 hours from Death Valley there in Clemson. The Tigers or the Hurricane?
We're going to agree on this one, I think. I mean, I think Clemson. I just think they're more balanced, and I think you're right. The crowd factor is a big deal in college sports. I think everybody agrees with that. And Miami doesn't travel well. It's such a small school. And so Clemson's going to have, the fan base there. And I'm going with Clemson. I just think they're more balanced.
Well, now, I know if you look at TV ratings, this will probably be one of the highest rated games in the state of Florida, especially through the Department of Corrections, where most of Miami's fans reside. But, sorry, that was a little jab at the U and their criminal history. Clemson, I think, other than the loss at Syracuse, which is a horrible loss, and they were losing even with Kelly Bryant in the game, so I don't buy that. It's like, oh, it's because he got hurt. They were losing the game before he got hurt. But anyway, Clemson is a much better, has much more balance. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball, and they do have what everybody says is probably one of the best defenses in the country.
That's right.
Brett Venables is a great defensive coordinator. I can't believe his name hasn't been thrown around more in this coaching carousel, but I don't think he wants the head coach job. I think he likes being a coordinator. But the Clemson Tigers will win this game in Charlotte and cement their place as the number one seed in the college football playoff.
Yeah, they're awfully good. I mean, yeah, and you're right about Venables. And I think you're also right that there's just some coaches who are very happy being defensive coordinators. I mean, Don Brown here in Michigan, his name popped up a few times, and the guy's happy doing what he does. Why wouldn't they want to take on all of the tasks that a head coach has? So Clemson is very lucky that I think they're in that situation with Venables.
And then we come down to the SEC Championship. This is the game that could, you know, it was a blowout, 40-17, just 3-4 weeks ago. Auburn just destroying Georgia. That was at Jordan-Hare. This game is being played 60 miles from campus for Georgia. But Georgia, Auburn both have lots of fans in the Atlanta area, and it's being played at the new spaceship there, the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Georgia, can they run the ball on the Auburn defense? Does Kerryon Johnson's injury play into this? And is Jarrett Stidham a real quarterback? All those will be answered later today. That's the only game being played at that time, so everybody's eyes will be on the SEC Championship. Who do you like?
Love Georgia. I really do. But I just think Auburn's a much better team and showed it earlier. And they're going to show it again. I mean, I don't think it's going to be – I mean, it'll be a very, I don't even want to say it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a very well contested game, but I think Auburn will just has more juice and it has so much on the line here. I just think the motivation is tremendous for Auburn at this stage. So I'm going with Auburn.
So you're taking the Auburn Tigers.
And I know you are too.
It's hard to pick against them when they dismantled a team 40-17 just a few weeks back. But I know that they are a much different team on the road. They lost to Clemson on the road. They lost to LSU on the road. Granted, it will be a neutral site game. There will be many more Georgia fans there at the game because it's a very expensive ticket, and I don't think Auburn fans can afford it. See, I know. I'm taking slaps at these teams. But I don't think the barn will get it done. I think Georgia will have enough on offense running the ball. I think Jake Fromm gets some vertical passing going, which he didn't in the first game. And I think, yes, I think the Georgia Bulldogs will win the SEC championship game.
Wow. I mean, there's something to that. Like when you look back at last year's Penn State team, when they came into Ann Arbor, I mean, they lost badly to Michigan, and then they got better and better and better, and I'm not sure they would have. I mean, they certainly, the margin of victory wouldn't have been that great by the end of the season against Penn State, and I think you could probably look at Georgia that way, but I just think Auburn has way too much. I don't know. So we're going to differ on this one.
Well, I talked to Mark. I talked to Mark Weiser from the Athens Banner-Herald earlier in the show, and as you know, as a Homer writer would do, you're one of those. I'm joking. I know you're not a Homer writer, but he thinks Georgia's going to win the game, and he convinced me. He did convince me. Now, okay, I want you to put your crystal ball out. Who's going to be in the top four come tomorrow morning?
Oh gosh, I'm going to say. Oh, I'm going to have Wisconsin in there, I guess, even though I picked Ohio State to win. I think that's probably the smarter pick. Can I go back and change my Ohio State pick now that I'm sitting here thinking about it?
You can change it, but I'm not going to edit it out.
No, I mean, you got to edit it out. Come on.
No, that's the glories of live radio. Okay, so Angel's going with Wisconsin. Okay, we got that out. So you got Wisconsin in the Final Four.
You have Wisconsin in the Final Four?
No, I'm asking you.
No, I want to know if you have them in there.
I do, because I picked Wisconsin to win the game.
Well, that's true, you did. Okay, see, I'm trying to edit this out while we're talking. I will tell you
my Final Four, then you give me yours.
No, okay. Well,
Oklahoma. Oklahoma, Wisconsin,
yes,
Clemson,
Oklahoma.
Georgia.
Okay, well, we differ on Georgia.
You got so. Do you have Auburn a two-loss conference champion going in?
I have Auburn as and I have Oklahoma. I mean, I guess you could argue for Alabama, right? I mean, you know, if that transpires, what we talked about earlier. But I definitely have Oklahoma. Oh, I mean, it would be hard to put Alabama. I don't know. I mean, with not playing a game, and here's Auburn playing a game, I would have Auburn in.
Okay, so we're going to go with that. We've been talking with the great one, the angel of the big house, Angelique Shengelis, beat writer for Michigan, but she knows a little bit about the whole game as well.
I mean, so you're going with, I want to compare this one more time, because I think I'm saying Clemson, Auburn, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin, and you're saying Clemson,
Georgia.
Wisconsin,
okay. Oklahoma. So we differ there as well. But we'll know all tomorrow morning when the conference playoff poll, the final one, comes out tomorrow morning. Angelique Shengelis, as always, thank you for joining us on the University of Fish today.
Well, what do I get if I win today? Do I get something? Do you send me a trophy? Or
I'll find some swag to send you. Once I get my book.
Oh, boy, here we go. Okay, you'll get your book.
Thank you, Angelique Shengelis.
Thanks, Professor.
Now it's time to just kick back, enjoy the games of the day. They're going to be going on all day long. Start off in just about an hour. That's why I went a little longer today, so you'd have less time between the University of Fish and the first kickoff. That's going to be the Big 12 starting at 10 a.m. You know I'll be watching it. The next time we talk, we'll be talking who's in the college football playoff, and we'll have where everybody's going to their bowls. We'll talk about that next week here on the University of Fish. I am the Professor. You're listening to Extra Sports 1300.